Would you like to sing We Shall Overcome?
We shall overcome.
We have a very special guest with us today. We have Jack Payden Travers here. He is the executive director of Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. And he's going to be live here with us in Studio B talking about the upcoming legislative session and some of the issues around the Virginia death penalty. You know, deep in my heart, I do believe that someday this death penalty in the state of Virginia will be abolished forever. Martin Luther King said that the arc of history is long, but it bends toward justice. And I can personally attest to this. I first became aware of the death penalty in 1976 because I happened to be friends with one of the attorneys for John Spinklink, the first person executed after the reinstatement of the death penalty in 1976. Although it's been 30 years this year, and we just passed the 1,004 mark of executions that have taken place across the United States in these 30 years, I have a lot of hope, and I see a lot of signs of hope. And Jack, I'm sure that you agree with me that deep in your heart, you believe that we shall overcome also.
Well, I know that one of the constants in our world is that things change. When I first got out of school, I worked on divestiture campaigns for South Africa to get American corporations to divest. People used to laugh at us, say it will never happen. Here we are, 40 years later, Mandela is free. He's been named the president of the country. They have a democratic system enacted. Things change.
And we can take a lot of hope and energy from that. So, Jack, what's going on with the new legislative session?
Well, the legislature starts tomorrow, and this year it's a 60-day session, and we have four bills that we are really looking at in this upcoming session. We have a juvenile death penalty bill that Delegate Callahan has introduced that will change the statutes to bring Virginia's laws in line with the Supreme Court decision of February 2005 abolishing the juvenile death penalty.
So you expect that to pass without a lot of controversy?
Delegate Callahan expects that even Virginia legislators will at this point pass that bill. And I don't mean that derogatorily when I say even Virginia legislators, but the last time the juvenile statutes were amended in 1989, it took Virginia 12 years to amend the laws on Virginia's books. Okay, we also have indigent defense legislation coming up because so many of the people on Virginia's death row are there because the very definition of capital punishment, those without the capital get the punishment. And so we need to reform indigent defense laws. In addition, there's a bill that the person I call the lion of the Senate, Senator Henry Marsh, has introduced once again his bill to enact an immediate moratorium on executions in Virginia. And in addition, Delegate Hargrove, Frank Hargrove from Hanover, has come back again this year to introduce a bill to abolish the death penalty in Virginia. And we'd encourage people to Google the Virginia General Assembly and look up these bills and call their local legislators, their delegates, and their senators, and say to them, we want you to support these reforms in Virginia.
Jack, how effective do you think those phone calls are with our legislators?
We have been told that you can change a vote in the House of Delegates with 12 phone calls.
I believe this.
You can change your delegate's vote if he or she gets 12 phone calls. They take it very, very seriously, regardless of their particular position. So we have the power, and it's up to us to act. And we've got 60 days to do it in. And we've got a new administration coming in with Governor Kaine, and we have a lot of hope that things will change for the better here in Virginia.
I want to get back to those other two bills, but I'm wondering if you could speak to us for a minute about Governor Kaine. What do you feel are his positions on the death penalty and some of this legislation?
Well, Governor Kaine's election in Virginia signaled a major change in the sense that for the first time an individual did what the political pundits said couldn't be done. Tim Kaine ran as a person who was morally opposed to the death penalty, openly admitted his opposition, his faith-based opposition to capital punishment, and yet was elected the chief executive officer of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And all the political pundits said, you can't do it. Of course, they said this when he ran for lieutenant governor 4 years ago. Tim Kaine is a good politician, and we expect that there will be change. Now, on the death penalty, he said he's not intending to make any changes. But we also know that if we, the people, get together and we write to Governor Kaine and we write to our legislators and our delegates, I think we have a 4-year window of opportunity.
You're listening to WRIR 97.3 LPFM here in Richmond. We are live in Studio B on the Richmond Indie Media News Show with Jack Payden Travers, the executive director of the Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. And Jack is bringing us up to date on the bills that will be coming up in the General Assembly, which starts tomorrow.
Right. And one thing I want to mention, and I'll mention it probably several times on the program, is that January 16th, Martin Luther King Day, January 16th, is Death Penalty Awareness Day at the Virginia General Assembly. You can go on to our website, www.vadp.org. That's www.vadp.org. And you can register. You can just come without registering, but we like to know how many bagels we need to have for the morning session. That's going to be an all-day session starting at 8 a.m. At Centenary United Methodist Church, and then we'll move over to the General Assembly for lobbying, and then we'll have a rally with Virginia Cure and other groups focusing on families of prisoners, and that will take place at 1 o'clock to 2 p.m. in front of the bell tower on the Capitol grounds, and then we'll go into the General Assembly briefing for a debriefing of the various delegates and senators that we've met with during that day. So please go online, register, and call your delegates and senators to make appointments to meet with them this coming, Monday morning, January 16th.
And if you can't register, or if you find out at the last minute that you can make it, please come on down to the Capitol and be with your fellow citizens and becoming part of the conversation, making your voice heard.
Now, one thing I'd like to point out is how much things are changing nationwide. Last night, I got home at about 8:30 in the evening because I had to send out two press releases late in the afternoon, one of which was that the Supreme Court had just vacated and remanded to the Fourth Circuit the case of Derek Walker, a man on Virginia's death row. In addition, last evening at about 6:30, the New Jersey legislature voted overwhelmingly, 55-21, to establish a moratorium in New Jersey. Last week, the New Jersey Senate voted for a moratorium by an even larger majority. Yesterday, the General Assembly voted for it, and the governor is expected to sign it before he leaves office this week.
I think that's especially exciting because we did have another statewide moratorium in Illinois, but I think that was put forward by governor's pronouncement, right?
Right. That was enacted by both Governor Ryan and his successor in office, and it's still in effect in Illinois because the legislature still has failed to enact the 85 reforms that the Blue Ribbon Commission said you must have in place if you are to be 90% sure that you will never execute an innocent person. They, in fact, the last line of their report was, even if you enact all 85 reforms, there is still the possibility of executing an innocent person. And that's one of the reasons I think things are about to change here in Virginia, because later this week we expect to have DNA evidence, the results of testing in the case of Roger Keith Coleman. Roger was executed in May of 1992, and he went to his death proclaiming that an innocent man is going to be murdered tonight, and when my innocence is proven, I hope Americans will realize the injustice of the death penalty as all other civilized countries have.
Jack, speaking of that, isn't it true that America is one of the few countries on the globe that still use the death penalty?
In terms of nations that actually practice the death penalty, yes. I mean, we're in line with China and Iran and Saudi Arabia, where people are beheaded, and then the United States, where we can use firing squads, gas, hanging, lethal injection, and the electric chair. So it's not a pretty picture, and it's about time that America joined the Commonwealth of Nations, that the majority of world nations have now abolished the death penalty as capricious and arbitrary, and we know a number of things about the death penalty. One, it is not a deterrent to crime. Even the recent murders here in Richmond will not have been prevented by the presence of a death penalty. It's cost ineffective. It's cheaper to keep individuals in prison for life without parole than it is to execute them. And depending on the state, it can cost as much as 5 times more to execute an individual than to keep them in prison for life without parole. It's arbitrary. It discriminates against the poor. Those without the capital get the punishment. It depends on where the crime is committed, and it largely depends on who is the victim of the crime. If your victim is white and you're black, you're 8 times more likely to be executed than if your victim was black.
Is that a national statistic?
And that's a national statistic, yes. And if people are interested in statistics on the death penalty, they can either go to our website, www.vadp.org, where we focus mainly on Virginia issues and statistics, or they can go to the Death Penalty Information Center website. Just Google Death Penalty Information Center, and they have all the statistics for the national campaigns.
And also remember, you can go to our website also, richmond.indymedia.org, because the Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty regularly post information on our website, and you can keep up with what's going on there too.
Right. We know that the death penalty is going to end. Even Senator Ken Stolle from Virginia Beach was quoted recently in the Virginian Pilot. And he said, the death penalty is going to end. It's just a matter of when they finally prove an innocent person was executed.
And Jack, now, you're saying that might be this week?
And we think that that might well be this week. Governor Warner has finally ordered the testing of Roger Keith Coleman's DNA. Of course, there are 3 possible outcomes of that testing. One, that Roger Coleman is proven guilty. Two, that the results are inconclusive, or that he's proven innocent. Many of us who have worked in this field believe very strongly that the evidence will come back that Roger was innocent of the crime for which he was executed. We believe wrongfully executed. But even if his case comes back where Roger is guilty or the results are inconclusive, the tests could not confirm or deny guilt or innocence, a precedent has been set by Governor Mark Warner for testing and the retention of DNA and other evidence in capital cases where a person is executed, so that when there are scientific developments that occur almost daily in the field of DNA testing, that we should retain this evidence to be able to prove definitively the guilt or innocence of a person, particularly in a case like Coleman's where there was a question of innocence. Unfortunately, in Virginia, in the cases of people like Joseph O'Dell or Derek Barnaby or Dennis Stockton, the evidence has already been destroyed. We have the cases of men who sit on whose sentences have been commuted to life in prison without parole by governors here in Virginia, such as Robin Lovett, most recently by Governor Warner. But going back to Joseph Gerritano, who was commuted by Governor Doug Wilder, who's now the mayor of Richmond, ironically enough, in Gerritano's case, as in Lovett's case, the state of Virginia claims that the evidence was lost, not only not destroyed, they don't know what they did with it. They have no proof that they ever destroyed it. We've said to them, let us into the DNA lab. Let us into your police storage vaults to let us search for this evidence, and they very much refuse to let you do that. And I think this is one of the things that needs to be reformed in Virginia, is that defense attorneys need to have access to evidence of possible innocence of their clients.
Jack, you said that the Coleman DNA is being tested this week. Are the citizens of Virginia paying for that DNA test?
Well, actually, originally, the Centurion Ministries had agreed to pay for it, but I noticed recently that Governor Warner agreed that the cost would be split between Virginia, the state of Virginia, and Centurion Ministries, and the testing is being done by a laboratory in Ontario, Canada.
You said that there were a couple of other bills that are being considered this session?
Well, we have, in terms of bills that are being considered, we've got the moratorium bill, we've got the abolition bill, we've got a juvenile death penalty bill, and we have a number of bills for indigent defense reforms.
Oh, those are the four.
Right. Those are the four main ones that VADP is suggesting our people work on. Now, you can go on to the Virginia Cure website and you can find, I believe it's over 50 bills that they have introduced for reforms that need to take place in Virginia's prison system.
I really believe that it is the role of government to keep its citizens safe. So for me, the alternative of life in prison without the possibility of parole is something that I feel very comfortable with when a person is found guilty of murder. I do not want my government involved in the business of murder. I have been to Greenville a couple of times and stood in the field in the dark of night. These executions take place in the middle of nowhere at 9 p.m. at night. Jack, I know you've been there many times, and it is such an incredibly powerful, horrific experience, because you know that at that moment there is a life being taken.
Right.
And after 10 or 12 minutes after 9 p.m., here comes this ambulance just flying out of the prison compound on the way to Richmond with the body to yet be autopsied. I just find that so appalling. It's something that I do not want my government involved with. I do not want my government involved in murder.
Right. And that is a scenario that takes place again and again across this nation. Because each execution, whether it takes place at Greenville, where the death house is for Virginia, the execution chamber is in Building L, ironically enough. We call it Building L for lethal. Where the death chamber is in Virginia, or if it takes place in Raleigh, where the death chamber is for North Carolina, or if you go down to Columbia, South Carolina, where the death chamber is located, or you go to Texas, where, you know, where there's a death chamber. In Huntsville. It's just amazing to me that we don't see each execution as a national disgrace, because it is a national disgrace, and it's a practice that we can end, and I know it's going to end in our lifetime, but it's only going to end if all of us get together and make our voices heard, not only for Virginia executions, but for North Carolina executions, for Maryland executions. We are facing the 1,005th execution coming up this month in California. Clarence Ray Allen is about to be executed. He's a Choctaw Indian. He's blind. He's diabetic. He's in a wheelchair. The state of California is going to force him to walk. This is a man who's been wheelchair bound. They're going to force him to walk to the death gurney. In other words, they're going to have to drag him because he can't walk anymore. And what will we accomplish? All we will do is say to our children, and we'll be teaching our children, and we do it each time we have an execution, we teach our children that killing is a solution. And what we're saying is, it's never a solution. So we're glad that Governor Warner, we're very grateful to Governor Warner for establishing the precedent in testing the DNA. But we just want to stop executions. We wish Governor Warner would enact a moratorium on executions as his last act in office.
Jack, you talk often about the power of the people to have a voice in this most important issue. Are there some ways that you would like people to become involved?
Well, we would love for people to join or form vigil groups. We now have 27 vigil groups. Each time an execution takes place across the Commonwealth, we have roughly 300 people who show up normally in their local jurisdictions, in front of their local courthouse or in front of a local church, and they vigil to stop executions. They vigil both for the victim who was murdered years ago, and they vigil also for the person being executed that night. In Lynchburg, in the city of Lynchburg, the local group vigils not only on the night of executions, but on the day of each murder. When a murder takes place at noon the next day, a vigil for the victim is held in the city of Lynchburg. How powerful would that be if the citizens of Richmond started to hold public vigils mourning, just like they did for the recent killings here in Richmond, but if we did it for everyone, not just the celebrities who were executed, but for everyone.
Jack, thank you so much for being here. I know that you're very busy. You have so much going on right now with the session starting. I wondered if you had any final words.
Well, I just wanted to share with people that the words of Roger Keith Coleman when he said on the night of his execution, "A battle has been lost, but the war goes on." Don't give up hope and never, never quit fighting. This insanity called the death penalty will end someday. So stay strong and keep the faith. Roger Keith Coleman.
And Jack Payden Travers, thank you so much for the inspiration of all your work. We will stay strong and we will keep the faith and we shall overcome. In the news now from our website at richmond.indymedia.org, we have some more encouraging news. The Humane Society of the United States has just today congratulated the government of Greenland for choosing to eliminate all purchases of Canadian seal skins through its seal skin trader and tannery. You know, it's not just that we execute each other, that we murder each other, but there are billions and billions of sentient feeling beings with whom we share this planet that are being executed on a daily basis for our palates and our vanities. So it's wonderful to hear the news out of Denmark and Washington, D.C., that the country of Greenland has decided to stop taking part in the brutal murder of the baby seals every year in Canada for the clothing industry. Want to point out to you also that there is going to be a campaign of nonviolent action initiated on January the 16th and taking place until March the 20th from the Call to Conscience for the United States Congress group. You can go on our website at richmond.indymedia.org and find out more about this campaign of nonviolent action to compel our elected representatives in Congress to meet the demands of peace and justice and to end the war in Iraq. Their theme is Not Another Death, Not Another Dollar. You can also go to their website at iraqpledge.org. Right here in Richmond, the Richmond Peace and Education Center is offering a weekend workshop on nonviolent conflict resolution this weekend, January 14th and 15th. Participants will learn strategies and techniques to help young people and adults settle their conflicts peacefully. Also, the completion of this workshop is the first step for anyone interested in joining the Richmond Peace Education Center Conflict Resolution Team as trainers. So give them a call and let's see, where's that phone number? Give them a call, the Richmond Peace Education Center, and find out about this wonderful workshop that's being held this weekend. 232-1002. Also coming out of the Richmond Peace Education Center is the announcement of the free Edu Concert, January 21st, honoring the life and work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It will be held at 7 p.m. at the Berryman Center, 400 West 32nd Street. And it's sponsored specifically by the Richmond Youth Peace Project. So again, call 232-1002 to find out more about that event. ColorOfChange.org is asking Virginia's Governor Mark Warner to consider restoring voting rights to felons in Virginia who have served their time in prison. You can go to our website, richmond.indymedia.org, to find out more about this effort, or you can go to their website, colorofchange.org/VA voting rights, and find out about how you can become part of the conversation. Don't forget that the Virginia Conservation Network is holding their Citizen Lobby Day here in Richmond at the Capitol on January the 16th, 2006. Your participation makes such a difference. Please call them at 644-0283. To find out more information or go to their website, vcnva.org, or go to Richmond Indy Media's website. The important thing is to become part of the conversation. I want to highlight today a website from our Independent Media Center that is brand new for 2006. This is climateimc.org. The Independent Media Centers of the world have gotten together and have put together a special website focused specifically on the issue of global warming. So you can go to this brand new website, climateimc.org, and find out what is going on all around the world with regard to the issue of global warming. One final note today is to encourage all of you to go to johnconyers.com. John Conyers is one of the congressmen who is very interested in making sure that there is a committee to look into the actions of the Bush administration in its national spying on the American people. So if you go to johnconyers.com, you can get involved there, or you can go to censurebush.org. The important thing is to become part of the conversation. This is a country where the power is with the people, government for the people, by the people, and of the people. And this is Richmond Indie Media Radio News Show, where we're here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1 o'clock, bringing you the news for the people, by the people, and of the people. Peace out.